Again, Happy Easter. Now, I heard a very happy Easter. I heard it on this side, but I didn't hear it on this side. Happy Easter. Very, very good, very good. God is good. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I praise you and thank you, Lord, once again for our time together, Lord, for this Easter celebration. We give you praise, Father God. I pray that our hearts and our spirits will be open to you to receive what you have for us, Lord, in this message. I pray that you anoint me to preach it, Lord, for your glory. And Lord, I really believe that there's some here today that really need to respond to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I mean that in such a positive way, Lord. I just pray now that all of your people, everyone that is here, will just have the hearts open to receive all you'd have for them today. And I thank you, Lord, for that. And we give you praise. And again, I pray that you use this message for your glory. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege of bringing the gospel to your people. I pray and ask these things and for the gift of your Spirit to flow through me as I minister to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. A little girl was very, very moved as she and her family were watching the Easter story on television. And as tears rolled down her little cheeks, she watched in silence as Jesus was tortured. And then when his body was taken from the cross, she was there in her sorrow, weeping and crying. Then when Jesus was put in the tomb, suddenly she starts jumping up and down, up and down. She was so excited, and she was in a joyful shout. She said, "The good part is coming. Now the good part is coming. Jesus is risen." How do you feel about that, church? That Jesus Christ is risen. So many of you, you know that. You've known it for years. But it should be fresh to us each and every day that Jesus Christ is risen for us. That's the fuel. That's it. You know, that's the theme of the Christian faith. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. That is it. If that wasn't the case, why would we be here? If that wasn't the case, I certainly would not be up here. You know, it should be proclaimed over and over and over again in so many different ways we can do that. Now, if you look at the book of Corinthians, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because throughout that chapter, Paul talks about the resurrection in a variety of events and situations. And so what we're going to do this morning, we're going to kind of dig into some of those verses. Obviously, we can't do them all, but I picked some out with the Lord's help. Praise God for that. But we want to look at and unwrap some of these verses. And my first thought this morning is the resurrection. Just the resurrection. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8, and we're going to start in verses 1 and 2. "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received and of which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain." Again, by this gospel, you are saved if, you are saved if, you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For Paul, it was all about the gospel and nothing else. He challenged the Corinthians and us to stand firm, stand firm on the word that leads to what? That leads to salvation. God's word cannot simply be read or discussed. It must be put into motion. Its truths and promises must be put into motion. That means what? It means it needs to be active in our lives. In order for it to become real, it needs to be active in our lives each and every day. Otherwise, if that's not the case, then the Bible would be like any other book. The Bible changes lives. Without that Bible, we wouldn't understand salvation. So we need to be in the Word of God. Amen? I think we all could agree with that. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. For what I received, Paul continued, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised, and on the third day, according to the Scriptures, he was raised. Here Paul summarized really the events of the resurrection in three key statements. First, Jesus died. You know, according to the Scripture, he died for our sins. He was buried. He was resurrected on the third day. That is it. And I love it when we stop and think about it, that this is all verified. All these events were all verified by eyewitnesses. How many? He said more than 500. Now, I'm not a lawyer, but if I'm in court, you know, I wouldn't have to even go to law school. If I had 500 witnesses, you know, then I'm going to be in pretty good shape. Amen? Amen. So we have that. That's only just a little smithering of the evidence that we have of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But that is important for us, and Paul really wanted us to understand that if we didn't have all these events, if we did not have, you know, Jesus' death, if we didn't have his burial, if we didn't have the eyewitness accounts, if we didn't have the resurrection, then Jesus' resurrection would be invalid. This is important. Now, for some, they can just kind of go by faith and say, yeah, the Bible says it, I believe it. But for some, they need evidence. They need more than just take my word for it or take with the Bible's word for it. Christianity is not simply a faith of emotion. It's of intellect. It's of study. It all goes together. Amen? So we have a solid, as we go along here, I hope that it becomes more clear to you. Now I'm going to move on to the resurrection of the dead that Paul talks about here in verses 12 and 13. Verse 12, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now we need to look at some of the historical accounts. In the early days of Christianity, when Jesus was resurrected, and then he ascended to the Father, those early Christians, when they became converts, and we're talking about the Corinthian church here, they believed that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That wasn't a problem for them. But their problem came in believing that other Christians, other people, when they died, their body were raised from the dead. Why? You know, it doesn't seem to make any sense, does it? You know, Jesus raised from the dead. Okay, we get that. But you can't be. That doesn't make sense. Because they were so influenced by their Greek culture. And if you study Greek culture, you learn a few things about the physical body. They did not believe in the bodily resurrection. Why? Because they believed the body was so, so corrupt. And so when a person died, the soul, which in a sense we agree with it, was separated from the body. But remember, for the Greeks, the body was so corrupt, so bad, and that soul was in prison, trapped in the body. So death kind of released the soul. Where did the soul go? Take a guess. You know? See, so they weren't, you know, they weren't really there. They didn't really understand that. And this is not new. This is not new. I'm sure the pastors, you know, Christian pastors through the generations, they had to fight through culture. They had to fight through people that did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was very common, very real for them. Take a look at us, for example. This so much of our culture today speaks against the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It does. Why? Because so many academic and scientific institutions say this is all there is. This is it. You die. There's not a second chance. There's nothing. You are done. You're toast. There's nothing after this. But we know that since Jesus Christ was bodily resurrected, that as believers in Jesus Christ, George, you okay? Okay. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are also resurrected. That is the good news. That's the driving point that Paul is trying to make about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is real. It is real. It's all about Christ. No, he said, listen, if Christ hasn't risen from the dead, then what's the point? Jesus was the first fruits. Amen? And amen. I heard a really a strong amen there. That is really good. Now, Paul counters their argument here, his skeptics, in verse 13. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised from the dead. So we talked about that. We've talked about since Jesus was raised, then we will be raised our body, etc. Now, how many of you, this is probably a dumb question, but how many of you have ever been confronted by the skeptic that doesn't believe that Jesus actually was resurrected? I think probably all of us had at one point or another. And, you know, and how do you argue? What is your position? How do you defend that? How do you defend your belief that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead? I'm really going to chop this one up, but I'm trying to really paraphrase how it really impressed me how a pastor was talking with a non-believer, probably an atheist, did not believe, no way, you know, that Christ was risen from the dead. Then he said to the pastor, he said, if I'm right, the skeptic, if I'm right, then you have spent all those years, you know, preaching Jesus Christ, and when you die, that's it, it's over. The pastor countered with this. He said, if I'm wrong, I've wasted 50 years proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I've wasted 50 years of talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If I'm wrong and I die, I've lost 50 years. But if you're wrong and I'm right, you've lost eternity. Think about that. All of you, think about that. You know, if you're at a place right now, you're not sure about the resurrection. You're just not sure that it really happened. You need to think about what I just said. Because if you die and you're not in Christ, you're never going to be in Christ for eternity. That's a long time. Isn't it? When you stop and think about it, you know, that is a long. What we do here, what we do with Jesus Christ here on this earth, determines our eternity. As simple as that. We know that. That's why we need to celebrate really the resurrection more than just one Sunday out of the, you know, of the whole year. You know, we need to embrace. We need to embrace the resurrection each and every day. My third point, and this work I think is going to get interesting, and that is, I want to talk about the resurrected body. And we're going to be looking at, on your screen, I'll hopefully have it up there, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Paul said, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable and be changed. When Jesus comes again, every believer, living or dead, will be changed. You know, when we talk about the rapture, this is a whole different area. we could have a long, and I preached on this before, you know, about the rapture, about the second coming. It is coming. We had the first advent. Now we're waiting for the second advent. Jesus coming again. I was just telling Jan, just driving to church today, and we're just talking about the second coming. Sometimes Christians, we can't help ourselves. You know, we can't help trying to predict when Jesus is coming again. It's amazing how I hear people trying to twist around that. Well, yeah, we don't know when he's coming, but it's getting close. I think somebody said it could be in 2026. You're guessing. You know, people can't help themselves. We don't know. We don't know. All we have to, we just need to follow what the Bible says. Paul said that our lives will be changed. When Jesus comes again, when he comes, it could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be 2 million years from now. But when he comes, I don't think it'll be 2 million years because of the evidence, but there again, that gets into the, I don't want to confuse everyone, but you know what I'm saying. But when he does come, when that moment comes, then all the saints that have died in Christ in the grave will come. They'll be the first fruits. And then those that are living, that are in Christ, then we will join, we'll ascend with Jesus Christ. Is that fair? Do I kind of agree with that if you're a Christian? You know? And then you get into when Paul said, our bodies will change. We'll have different bodies. Will we recognize each other in heaven? That's just up. You know, we'll call it participation. Yes. Well, why? How? Because I will recognize you. You will recognize me. Our bodies will be different because our new bodies will be built for eternity, but we have some characteristics of what we look like here because we recognize each other. Now, I'm not going to get into that in detail because there's 1,000 different theories about all of that, but Paul said that we will be changed in a twinkling of an eye. That is going to happen for sure. And then I'm gonna close here with verse 58. And I'm gonna close with this confident assurance. Paul said, therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. My first church, I can still remember it, Jeanette. My mind still, I can still remember the first church. It was a farm community, and basically the farming there was corn and beans. You had maybe if you had a beef farm, that was very, very rare. And I was really struck by their work ethic. I thought, okay, I started doing the math. Okay, corn and beans. So if you plant in the spring, what do you do until the fall? What does the farmer do? Play golf? Does he take long vacations? Does he watch soap operas? What does he do in the meantime? And I was really not necessarily amazed, but so proud of these farmers because they kind of took me under their wing and told me the facts of life of the farmer. So I can say this, the farmer is already, he's already, meaning that in the spring he is prepared, he's got his spring machinery there intact, he's ready to plant, he plants. So he's already, but he's not yet, because he waits patiently for the fall harvest. So what do we have? We have in the meantime. In the meantime, you have the plant, the crops are planted, and then you have the harvest. You got a lot of time in between waiting for your rewards. The farmer's reward, waiting for that crop to come in, those yields to come pouring in. But in the meantime, there's much work to do. He's got to spray his fields, you know, get the weeds out. And then he's got to still work in his shop to prepare for his machinery for the fall harvest. Because he knows, the farmer knows, that if he just lays around, does absolutely nothing, and say he has breakdowns with his equipment at the harvest time, that's time and it's money. And with all of that, and then more, I'm missing a lot, I'm sure, then you have the farmer, the businessman. What is he doing? Well, he's looking at the stock market. He's looking at the prices of grain, of corn, of beans. And then he's waiting until he feels that it's right time to sell. So he starts selling more of the old crop in order to make room for the new. So that's simple, isn't it? You with me? Now take the Christian. Somewhat like the farmer, we are ready. We are already as believers. Right here, we are already, but we're not yet. We're already because we believe in Jesus Christ. And so since we're ready, we are saved. We're not only saved, we know that we are forgiven. And when only forgiven, then we're called to serve. Then as we serve in the Lord, we continue to grow. So we're here waiting to be here. We're waiting for our resurrection, each and every one of us. So God says, you got a lot of work to do in between. That's where we are. That's where we are. So both, we can say, so both the farmer and the Christian must live by faith while looking toward their future rewards. Isn't that us? We are here and we're called to live by faith, knowing that we have a promise waiting for us, a promise of eternal life that's waiting for us. But we must wait for that. We must wait. Do you doubt? Do you doubt your resurrection? I'm speaking really to those right now that might be on the fence. You say, I don't, maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe it's true, maybe it isn't. Then I would encourage you to just stop listening to me. And just, if you want, I can give you a lot of resources that you can examine, that you can know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is real. The evidence is overwhelming. It is literally overwhelming. If you doubt your salvation, then look at the empty cross. That is it. How many churches on this day would say, he is risen indeed, because the tomb was empty. Look at the empty tomb, the cross, the tomb, the cross, the tomb is empty. You know, it just amazes me when I think about it. I get so amazed and so overwhelmed when I think that Jesus Christ died on the cross in order to, and he was raised from the dead, in order to fulfill our resurrection. To fulfill our resurrection. And also he died and was resurrected to help us grow each and every day in him, to grow more in him, to love him, to serve him, to follow him and live the abundant life. Are you living the abundant life? I hope so. Yes, Easter reminds us that we truly have so much to be thankful for and look forward to, because we know that, like that young girl said, the good part is coming. Your resurrection, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, is coming. You're already, but you're not yet. But it will come. It's as sure as the breath you're taking right now. It's guaranteed. It will come. That's not my promise. That's God's promise. I can fib. I know, Kathy, you said, really? Not the pastor, no way. But God doesn't fib. He doesn't lie. This is real. It is true. And for those of you here that aren't quite sure or believe or hesitant in what I'm saying, and you doubt, and you say, I'm not ready to accept this, you can be sure today. This is a time that if you want to be sure, then you need to pray and you need to surrender to Jesus Christ. If you have not surrendered to Jesus Christ, you need to today. Alex, I'm not going to pick on your brother. I'm not, but he's a testimony of someone a few weeks ago surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And I would probably put Alex up here. He could probably go on and on how great he feels about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that's what it's all about. If you don't know, and what Alex did is I prayed a prayer, and I let him, and let the people follow me in that prayer so he could be sure of his resurrection. I'm going to do the same thing this morning, because I don't want to take a chance. I don't want to take a chance, and please don't you take a chance. If you're not sure, then don't take that chance. Don't take the chance of not praying and receiving Christ, because your salvation, your eternal life is at stake. We wait as believers. We wait for our resurrection. We wait. And we wait for that day when we, all of us, will live in with an eternal, or in an eternal union with Jesus Christ that can never be broken. Do you want to live forever? We will all live forever. Did you know that? I didn't throw in that. I didn't want to talk about heaven and hell. Not on resurrection, but, you know, but hey, you know, what is the alternative? What is the alternative? Don't blow it. Make a decision to know Jesus Christ today and the power of his resurrection. You know, I'm going to pray with you, but as I move back over here, I just want you to know that, you know, God, you know, this is not brain surgery. It really isn't. God made it very easy. Some people will say, well, gee, you know, is that easy to pray a little prayer like that, that Christ can come into my life? Well, Alex will tell you, it's that easy. You know, we pray and let the Holy Spirit take over. So if you're one of those here today, Jesus loves you, and you're on the fence, you're not sure, remember, Jesus loves you. He loves you. He loves you where you are. But he died on that cross just for you. If you were the last person on this earth, Jesus Christ died for you. And you, and you. Just pray this prayer with me in your heart. I'll pray slowly, and just pray along with me in your heart. And I guarantee you, if you do this, you didn't know Jesus before, you know him, your life will change dramatically for the good. Let us pray. Dear God, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Jesus, I believe that you are God's Son who died on that cross for my sin. And you, God, raised him to life. So, Jesus, come into my heart right now. Come into my heart, Jesus, and take control of my life. Jesus, help me. Help me now to trust in you as my Lord and my Savior. Help me, Jesus, to follow you from this moment on. In your name, Jesus, I pray. If you have prayed that prayer, your new life in Jesus has just begun. If you prayed that prayer, that will be the greatest prayer, most meaningful prayer you've ever prayed, because you are now in the family of God. Oh, Jesus, we praise you and thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Jesus, for the power of the resurrection. We can preach 10,000 words. But, Lord, your death and your resurrection says it all. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you've made salvation so easy for us. If we would just believe and pray and surrender to you. Help us to do that now, Lord. In this place, as we pray, help us all, Lord, to surrender to you. For those that know you, Jesus, I pray for a new commitment. They have surrendered to you. And you embrace their hearts and renew their spirits through the glory of your Holy Spirit. That as all of us leave here today, that we leave here stronger, more convinced and assured that you died for us, that you are resurrected for us, and that we can live the abundant life here today in you. No longer are we alone. No longer are we confused. But now we know and we see clearly as you have revealed yourself to us, Father God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.
song?